We have an orchestra. Oh, thank you, Brother Garcia, for hanging that over my head. All right, I want you to take your Bibles. We'll turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll end up going into chapter 12, which is a very well-known passage of Scripture. But we'll start off in chapter 11. The Apostle Paul, of course, is the one who wrote this book. It was certainly the Holy Spirit who inspired the words, but he used the Apostle Paul in this epistle to the Corinthians, this second epistle. In chapters 10 all the way through 13, the Apostle Paul has somewhat changed his tone toward these in the church. There were those who had been swayed in their attitude toward him. And that was something that was ongoing. As you read the 1st and 2nd Corinthians, you see that this was a fickle group of believers. He had told them that, you know, that he had to feed them with milk because they were carnal. They were immature in the things of the Lord. They hadn't grown. So it was a little bit of a rough patch, a little bit of a rough road for the Apostle Paul with this church, but he loved them. His heart reached out to them. I mean, he embraced them, but there were certainly some challenges. But there were those that were in the church who felt that Paul was unqualified to be an apostle. Some felt that he was overbearing and proud, and some of those things were stated, and he'd gotten those reports, you know, secondhand. But he was hearing about these things. And then there were some that thought that he was fickle and dishonest. And so there was some rumors going out in regard to the Apostle Paul from those that were in this church. And so it looks very much like he is speaking to those individuals when you get to these chapters, for the most part, chapters 10 through 13. So the Apostle Paul, who's led by the Spirit. Now see, Paul, I mean, this is just amazing how God works. God uses the situation that's taking place, and there's this ongoing back and forth thing with the Apostle Paul and these believers. He's trying to encourage them to live for Christ. They're kind of caught up in their worldly ways. They're pretty immature. There's this back and forth. They've got this gossiping thing going on. And so the Apostle Paul has got these emotions. You can just feel the emotions that he has as he responds to them, as he's writing to them. And so he's ready to address this part of what's playing out. And the Holy Spirit is in on all of this. And it's all divinely led. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's not just Paul getting something off of his chest. These are God's words, but he's using the situation. God's amazing, isn't he? He does that in our lives. So he's led by the Holy Spirit, and he brings forth a list of things that he puts forth as boasting. So that's how it's all framed. I mean, you go from chapters 10 through 13, and seven times you read the word boast or boasting that the Apostle Paul uses. He even uses it earlier in the epistle, but especially in this passage where he's kind of coming back and responding to what's going on. So seven times. None of the other apostles, none of the other writers in the New Testament, especially the apostles, ever even used that word boast. But Paul, the apostle, uses it many, many times. But he uses it all in the attempt to ultimately show them how much he really cared. So he's bringing forth something that he needs to bring forth, and there's a reason for it, this boasting. So we'll take a look here at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm just going to read 16 through 33 and maybe just make a comment or two. This is not where I want to focus on the message. We're going to get into chapter 12, but it's good for us to read this passage here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 16 through, we'll get all the way through 33. He says, I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool, receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. Paul says, all right, there's a lot of you that are kind of, you know, you're glorying the flesh. I'm going to kind of come down to your level, is what he's saying. But this, again, is led of the Spirit. This is inspired words of God. And he says in verse 19, for ye suffer fools gladly. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. Do you catch a little of the sarcasm going on here? And he says, seeing that ye yourselves are wise, for ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. I'm even above, beyond that, he says. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure. He's going to now give a little bit of a resume of what he's gone through for the cause of Christ. What he's gone through for even on their behalf. He says, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oftentimes I've stared death in the face. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Five times I took 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily. Not only all these things that I've just talked about, but the things I have to deal with daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. With that, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get into this message today of when I am weak, then am I strong. Father, we come to you today. We're grateful to you. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather together. What a blessing it is. A number of people visiting, a lot of family members, extended family here. We just thank you for this opportunity to gather together. Lord, we're so grateful to you. Thank you for sending your son. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming and allowing your precious blood to be shed on our behalf. We thank you for those of us here that know Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing it is to be saved, to have everlasting life, Lord, to know that heaven is our home. These are wonderful things, and we thank you for the promises of your word. We thank you for the fact that we can stand on these wonderful promises and know that they come from a God who can't lie. We thank you for that, and we thank you, Lord, for the opportunities that we have that you've given to us, the freedoms that we have, to be able to meet freely today. We don't ever want to take that for granted. Lord, we pray for anybody here that may not know Christ as their Savior. They are where we once were, and we pray for them, Lord. We want them to see that Christ loves them. We want them to see that there's a Savior who is wooing them to trust in him. And we pray for their salvation, that they'll come to know Christ as Savior. So now, Lord, we just pray that as we come to this time when your word is opened, we thank you for everything that's taken place already, the singing of hymns, the fellowship that we've had. Lord, we thank you for it all. But now we look to you as this word is opened. I pray that you'd help me. I don't want to get in your way. I certainly don't want to hinder you. I pray that you'll do a work through me. Certainly that you could use my voice, but that you would be able to address every need that's here today. And you know all the needs, and I pray that you'd be able to do that. We want you to be right in our midst, and we want you to do your will in our midst. We want Jesus Christ to be lifted up and glorified. And I pray that you'd help me to say the things that I need to say. So I pray that you'd fill me with your spirit, and we thank you and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the Apostle Paul is, you know, he's coming back to these folks with, well, you've kind of got me into a position here, you know, because of everything that's gone on. You know, they've had some good back and forth, but then there's been all that fickleness. Again, it comes with the fact that they were not mature in the things of Christ. They hadn't grown. There was still just a lot of bickering. There were a lot of divisions in the church. You certainly see that as you read 1 Corinthians for the first 8-9 chapters. I mean, he's just going over issue after issue of things that were happening, that they were just at odds with one another and giving them wisdom how to work through them because they were babies. And so here they've got this attitude toward the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul is led by the Spirit of God to throw some things back into their direction, not necessarily because Paul felt like he had to defend himself. It was what the Lord led him to do, and it certainly was what Paul was feeling in his emotions. I'm sure he shook his head many a times in regard to these individuals. You know, just like maybe somebody is shaking their head about us because maybe we're one of those kind of individuals, or maybe we've got family, or maybe there's some friends or acquaintances that we just, I love them, but they're driving me crazy. You ever had anybody like that? Maybe somebody has said that about you, right? Or me. So the Apostle Paul is, it's sometimes when you get somebody, maybe it's somebody in the family, maybe it's some friend, again, maybe it's an acquaintance, and they just kind of pin you into a corner, and they're saying these things about you, and finally you just go, okay, let me just kind of set things straight, okay? I didn't want to have to go there, but let me set things straight, you know? And I'm sure you can relate to this, is, okay, you know this whole little caper, all this thing that was done for you? Guess whose idea it was? It was my idea. And you know who funded all of this? I did. What? You know, where you had to just lay it all out, something that you didn't even want to bring out, and the person's like, just dumbfounded, like, and then you just watch them shrink in size, down to about 1 inch tall, you know, when they realize, oh, you did all that for me? You didn't want to bring it out, but you just had to come out. You've been in those situations. I've been in those situations. I've had it happen where I was on the wrong side of the equation, but it just needed to come out. And it had to come out in the laundry. It just had to be expressed. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is doing here. And so I'm going to bring up this first point. There are things to boast in. There are things to boast in. And we're going to go ahead and take a look now at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So we'll cross over into the next chapter. And we'll take a look at these, we'll read these next first four verses. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago." And there's no doubt he's referring to himself, but he's using the third person. "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter." So the Apostle Paul, he has been boasting, all right? And there are things to boast. There are things to boast in. I mean, think about this though. The Apostle Paul is going to be turning a corner here with all of this, because again, he's not really doing it to spout off and to tout himself. He's not doing it for that reason, as I just mentioned. He's doing it because he loves these people, and he was just trying to reach them. Well, Paul, again, you know, Paul could certainly have boasted of all these revelations, but you can see now he's referring to this in the third person. He's not lifting up himself. But he's referring to it in the third person. He could have written books if he had the opportunity, if he was living nowadays. He could have made money. He could have made a movie. You know, he could have gone on talk shows. But the Apostle Paul didn't do that. He wasn't touting that. Now, we're not called to boast as the Apostle Paul did here. The Lord led him and opened the door for him to do that, at least the most of us, I hope. Although I have met some through the years, I'll just say this. I've known some people that I've talked to them. I mean, you know, I can still see their faces and just some of the wacky stuff that comes out. I've been on some other planets. Oh, really? Wow. Which ones, you know? I died and came back from, you know, the dead. And, well, you know, that's happened, you know. But I saw some things. Oh, really? What did you see? What did you see? I mean, and people, I even had a couple that said, my children, there's, even in their bassinets, there's this aura about my children. Kind of like Moses when he was pulled out of the Nile. And I went, wow, praise the Lord. That's wonderful. We've all kind of come across that. Maybe some of you are like, that's what I've been saying. I think pretty much they're all just cuckoo, okay? Now, I don't know, you know, maybe there's something to it, but, you know, that's just my impression. But you know what? More often than not, we usually boast of usual things, common things. Yeah, we like to boast if we have some ability. You know, I can juggle two balls. Wow, that's impressive. Two balls. Man, that's great. You know, or I bowled a 300 once. Of course, my handicap is 150. Yeah, that's great, you know. Some people are like, hey, kiss me, I'm Italian. It ain't much if it ain't Dutch, you know. I mean, so sometimes we just like to throw our pedigree around. And we just think, okay, man, you know, we like to boast in some things. Sometimes we boast in our football teams and how well they're doing and, you know, how many Super Bowls they've been to. But you know what? Listen, when it comes right down to it, you know, we can boast all we want. But how many times, you know, I mean, really, how much of a connection do we really have? Has this coach ever really called you and asked you for some strategy at halftime? I don't think that that's happened, right? No, I don't think so. I don't think Pete Carroll ever called anybody here and said, what do I do the second half? I'm really befuddled. Didn't happen. It hasn't happened. Sometimes we like to boast in our animals. I mean, I remember a Gary Larson Far Side comic strip. I just love Gary Larson, those old Far Sides. And he's got his dog in the front room with all these guests sitting on the couch. And he's just having the dog do trick after trick. And he's got the dog balancing a little dog biscuit on his nose. And there's a thought bubble, you know, a thought bubble over the dog's head. And he's thinking about his master. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. We like to boast about things, right? We like to boast about whatever it is that we have. That's just in our nature. But what does God say about boasting? Well, I'll just give you one verse. He says a lot about it. In Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1, it says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We don't even have a guarantee on tomorrow, so we can't even boast about tomorrow. We need to just walk in such a way that, Lord, please help me not to be a boaster. It's all by your grace. I don't even have tomorrow as a guarantee. Amen? And that's the way we need to look at things. Now, Paul was somewhat, again, forced into this position of having to open up his resume and having to lay it all out. And the Lord did allow him. And we saw that in through all those verses. But then we take a look here as we just continue. And again, sometimes, again, we find ourselves being in that situation as I laid out that scenario where sometimes you just have to, all right, pull the curtain back and say, hey, this is the way things are, because sometimes that's how things get resolved. And that was the course that the Lord wanted Paul to take. So then we get over to verses 5 and 6, and he says, of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory. Again, he's setting himself up in the third person, and he's talking about how he had these revelations, and he was taken up into heaven, up into paradise, and he got to see the Lord, and it was amazing. But now he puts himself in the third person, and he says, of such a one will I glory. I'll glory about that individual, third person. But he says, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. If I'm going to glory in anything, I'll glory in the infirmities that God's allowed me to have. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me." So the Apostle Paul says, "Listen, I'm not about to glory in this thing." And he's now backing away from any boasting. And I'm sure it was a little bit uncomfortable as he wrote those things down, but he knew that the Holy Spirit wanted him to write these things down, that, "All right, Lord, I know you'll use this, but I didn't expect it. All of that was going to come out of here, and that I'm coming back to these group of believers that I love, Lord. You know I love them, but I can see what you're doing here." And so the Lord, Paul could definitely see that. So now we see Paul again taking this different approach in regard to things that we can boast in. And so now we go to verse 7. In verse 7, we're going to see something here that is can be just really life-changing, really, for us as believers. In verse 7, it says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations." So yeah, you know, he was talking about himself. All of these revelations that I've seen, it has a tendency to want to puff up my head. And so he says this, that should happen. He says, "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." So the second point that I want to bring up is a desire for usefulness brings a thorn. A desire for usefulness for us as believers brings a thorn with it. And Paul recognized that God was allowing a thorn in his life. Now this point number two, is the hinge that swings us to the direction of point three, when God can really use us. He's going to use us when he allows something in our life. This point is very, very essential, and it's really profound in God's word, for you can't have one without the other. You cannot have the one without the other. You cannot be useful unless there are some things that take place in your life, and we call them thorns, as we see here in this passage. Yet we're Americans, and really you can't tell us that. Right? I mean, we want our options, and, we want a thornless path to God's power, because we're Americans. We deserve it, right? We want a thornless path to God's power. After all, man, we get to drive in cars that have two sets of temperatures in them. I get to drive at 68 and she's at 72. Yeah. And you know what? I get to know my own sleep number. George Washington didn't even know his sleep number. I know my own sleep number. Man, we are privileged, don't you think? We have got so much, and God has blessed us. I mean, we even know we know what that sleep number is. By the way, I'm a 35, just in case you wanted to know. But listen, we do like our comfort. We as Americans like our comfort, when it comes to, what will you have for your journey of life? Well, I'll have a smoothie and no thorns, please. No thorns, right? That's how we are. We don't want to have to go through anything tough or difficult. But God says there will be some difficulties, and those difficulties are going to help to groom you. Those difficulties are going to help to make you. They're going to help you to call out to me and to trust me more. And this wanting to serve God and yet have no thorns is just not an option. It's not an option for those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul was wishing that were so, because Paul's human. Look at verse 8. Verse 8, he says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice." That's three times. And I don't think that those were just little before the meal part of his prayer. "Oh, by the way, this thorn, could you take it away?" I think these were probably long vigils. I think there were probably maybe long, protracted amounts of time, maybe in the middle of the night, where Paul prayed and said, "Lord," and I think it probably was because he wasn't able to see well. I think there's enough in God's word that showed that, that road on Damascus, his salvation, conversion, seeing this, at noonday or at the midday, he was blinded by that incredible light. And I don't think he ever fully recovered. I think he was having problems with his vision all the rest of his life. And I'm sure he prayed, "Lord, if you just give me back my sight, I think I could be more effective. I could be more useful. I can barely see people. I can't even get away around sometimes. I need help. Lord, would you take this thing away?" And he prayed thrice for it. And he said that it might depart from me. And you know, sometimes we have some things in our life and we just wonder, why did this happen to me? I don't have an answer for it. Why is this my lot in life? And we pray and we say, Lord, will you take it away? And there may be times when God takes it away, but it may be one of those thorns in the flesh that God says, I'm just going to leave with you for a time. You might even have to have this the rest of your life, but I'm using it in your life. And the Apostle Paul learns that lesson, but he prayed that God would take it away, just like every one of us want it taken away. Sometimes you might be thinking this, well, I'm just going to skirt around this whole thing and not deal with thorns that way. I'm just going to do an end around. Well, you know, reality says this, that life itself will give you thorns. Just life itself is going to give you thorns. Job chapter 5 and verse 7 says, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Everybody goes through trials and difficulties. The Bible tells us very clearly, the Lord told Adam in the garden in Genesis chapter 3, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. Adam, get used to it. There's going to be some thorns. There's going to be some thistles in this life. And so trying to do an end around on God never works. So many have tried to do that. So many have tried to run from them. Just ask Jonah about that one, right? He just tried to get away from what God was calling him to do because it wasn't pleasant to him. And he didn't want to go preach to those Assyrians. And he tried to do an end around on God, but God took care of business with Jonah. But I'm here to tell you that God, in his oh-so-wonderful way, is calling us to this. He's calling us to what we see here in this passage. He knows what it is we can handle. He's just seeking to get us out of our comfort zone every now and then. It's not easy to, you know, we don't want to get out of this bubble of comfort. We love it, right? Everything is so comfortable. We don't want to leave it. But God says, I'm going to pull you out of that sometimes. As I'm trying to teach you some things. And he certainly is teaching me that way. There's things that I don't want to do that, Lord. I'm not comfortable doing that. That's why it's called a comfort zone, because we only do things that are comfortable in our comfort zones. So when he pulls us out of that, how many of you can relate to that? He pulled you out of a comfort zone and you just go, okay, Lord, but you're going to have to help me. Exactly. And we'll learn to call on him. Because, folks, we just kick and scream at the smallest things. I mean, a doctor comes at us with a needle, and he's not even 10 feet from us, and we're like, no, please, no. I mean, we can be babies. We really can be. But it's, folks, it's through these thorns, these trials, that he makes us, that he conforms us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. He makes us more like Christ as we go through some rough trials, some difficult things. He took Jacob's hip out of joint and made Jacob a completely different individual who he now called Israel. He was different. He think about Joseph and the trials that he went through, how he suffered rejection from his brothers, and then he went through imprisonment and these false accusations in order to eventually reign alongside of Pharaoh. He went through some things. What about David's experience at the hands of King Saul? How David was continuously on the run from King Saul and running for his life. And God used those thorns in David's life to do something and to make him. Let us by faith rejoice in our infirmities. Now that's not an easy thing to do, and it really, you have to be somewhat on high ground when we can rejoice in our infirmities with our thorns, the thorns that God's given to us. Paul says, I rather rejoice in my infirmities. He'd come to such a point when something that wasn't pleasant happened in his life, he was able to say, Lord, I don't see the outcome of it, but I praise you because you're such a great God. You'll take this and you'll use it for some good things. Amen. And he does. For what does Romans 8:28 say? For we know that all things work together for bad? No, for good. God works all things together for good. He's wonderful in his knowledge. And he can see the end from the beginning just as well as he can see the beginning from the end. I mean, he can see it all. So he knows how it's going to play out. And if we would just look at it and say, you know, yeah, this isn't pleasant. This doesn't look good. But I'm going to praise you in this because, you know, I'm just excited about what you're going to do with this, Lord. So help me to just keep my focus on you. So God will use these thorns. He'll use these trials. He'll use these difficulties in our life if we'll just learn to trust him. And then we'll take a look here at verses 9 and 10. And I'll finish up on these verses with this last point. Verses 9 and 10 says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Let me go back and read verse 8 so that way we can see it all together. Now, Paul has, I'll read 7 as well. Paul had these revelations, and the fear, obviously, for anybody was to be able to see heaven. I mean, can you imagine to be able to come back and to tell people if you were just like led of your of the old man, of the old nature, what would you do? It's like, hey, let me tell you, buddy, I've been in heaven, and I know what heaven looks like, right? I mean, we'd be boasting. I mean, I don't know if Neil Armstrong or Buzz Aldrin or the third astronaut, when they came back, I don't think they were bragging about it, but they could have. I mean, somebody could have said, you know, I've been all the way around the world, and Neil Armstrong could say, well, yeah, well, I've been to the moon, you know, really, serious. And, you know, you're like, oh, well, because of the fact that just having that experience would have just opened, I mean, it would have just inflated his head. And so that's why he says here in verse 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." And then in verse 8 again, where he just prays 3 times, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." And now we'll read verses 9 and 10. "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities." Now, that's really high-level ground to say, I actually take pleasure in infirmities. Paul's not a masochist. He's not somebody that just inflicted pain on himself just as a whim, at a whim. I know you're doing something through that. He was able to take pleasure in infirmities because he walked so close to the Lord that he said, I know you're doing something through this, so I can rejoice in it. So he says, "I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, when I'm reproached for Christ, in necessities, when I'm in deep need and I don't have the things that I'd like to have, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. It will be God's strength and power working through you and I." That last point that I bring out is in your weakness, you'll have strength. In your weakness and in my weakness, that's how we get strengthened, the right kind of strength. It'll be God's strength through the Holy Spirit working in your life if you're here today as a Christian. Psalm 62 and verse 11 says, "Power belongeth unto God." Power belongeth unto God. Now listen, again, we are hardwired in such a way that nobody wants to be weak, right? We don't want to be weak. And any time that you have been weak, you don't like it. When I had the COVID back in October, I felt crummy for 10 days and I felt weak and my battery just couldn't get charged. I was just like running on fumes. You guys remember, I was just laying on the couch and pretty much like I do now all the time. No, I was just laying on the couch. I couldn't kind of get up for a while, try to do something, and I was just, I didn't have anything there. We don't like to be weak. What do we want? We want to be hearty and robust, right, and vigorous. You know, we want to be fit as a fiddle, right? We don't want all the, the alternative to that. We don't want that. We don't want to be weak. The problem is that our strength gets in the way of God many times. It doesn't have to, and God has given us all strengths, but let's not let those strengths get in God's way. Amen? Because we can easily do that. We begin to start taking credit for it, like we had something to do with it. So understand that this whole idea or thought doesn't mean that God always breaks down our health. Now, he may choose to, because that's what he may have to do in your life and in my life, because we are just resisting. And we are just, we are, what were the Jews called me? Stiff-necked. Just obstinate. Now, I don't think there's anybody obstinate in this room here today. I don't see that at all, right? But we can be obstinate and stubborn. You know, God has to go to a higher level many times of dealing with us when we're there. But again, it doesn't mean he has to break down our health. God knows what needs to be stripped away. You know what he wants to do? He's wanting to prune us. And he's wanting to strip away anything that doesn't remotely resemble the Lord Jesus Christ. And boy, you can fill in the blanks with that stripping away and with that pruning. I mean, John chapter 15 and verse 2 says, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away." Well, we just read those few little words, and he taketh away. Well, what does that mean? Well, that might mean some trials right there. That might mean maybe a little bit of going through a loss of health for a while. Maybe that means some kind of a loss of some sort. Maybe it just means some humbling that has to come our way, where God gets our attention. So he says he taketh away any branch that doesn't bear any fruit, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And you know, if you're a gardener, you do a lot of pruning, right? Because you want it for the health of the whole plant, don't you? You want it to bring forth and to be productive and fruitful, and you want it to blossom. So guess what? A lot of it gets clipped away. Well, that's so descriptive of our life. There are things in our life that the Lord says, that's got to go. And I'm going to snip this, and it might be a little painful. Well, what does that mean? Well, you'll have to see. So the Lord does that in our lives. But we ought to be inviting of that, because the Lord is going to do some great things through it. Yet in all of that, folks, when he does that, we will find supernatural strength. He'll give you strength as you go through these times when he is pruning you and I. He'll give us strength. There's a good passage that the Lord Jesus spoke to the disciples in Luke chapter 21 and verses 15 through 18. He says, "For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all of your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death, and ye shall be hated for my name's sake. But there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls." Now that was the lot for those disciples, those apostles. Every one of them except the Apostle John they experienced a martyr's death. But the Lord said, "I'm going to give you power, and your adversaries won't be able to resist the power that I give to you," because they were just yielding unto him, and he was able to take them through some trials and through some difficulties. The question is, are you willing for him to do that? Are you willing for the Lord to allow something in our lives? He wants to bring some things. Sometimes he doesn't look for our permission, but it's good if we just say, "Lord, I don't know what you're planning to do, but if you can use me more greatly, because something has to come into my life, well, I'm not, super excited about it, but I want you to do whatever you need to do in my life so that Christ can be more readily seen in me." That's a good prayer request. Do you want to have more power in your prayers? You know, that happens as God takes us through this. Do you want God to really use you in your witnessing efforts for his power to be upon you? So often, folks, we really don't. So often, we really don't want that. And you know what? Again, we're just not hardwired that way. But when we can get to a level of maturity where, "Lord, I just want to submit myself to you, whatever the costs are, and I just want Christ to be used in my life." A man saw a little girl next door burying something in the garden. "What are you burying?" he said. "Oh, just a few pennies." "Are you trying to grow a money tree?" "Yes, I am," she said. "Do you really think you'll grow one?" "No, silly, but it's fun to pretend." That's how we are quite often. We don't really expect anything. Many of us just go through the motions, and we really never really look to see God's work done in our life. Because we really are not even at that level. We're not really walking with him. And so it's just all a lot of verbiage. And we know how to say the right things. Going through the motions. I remember when out of high school, I was getting into tennis with some friends. And we'd go down to the courts, down at the high school, and we'd go play tennis and just trying to get better at it. We had a lot of fun with it. And we always see this guy down a couple, he's always down like a couple courts. It was like 8 courts, so there was a whole bunch of tennis going on when it was full. And we'd see Gilbert over there. We'd go, you know, Gilbert was like in his 30s, you know, and we were like, that guy's old. I wish I was 30 now. That was back then when I was just out of high school. But Gilbert was out there all the time just, I mean, he was playing at times with other guys, but a lot of times he was just on a court by himself, just like stroking. We're like, there's Gilbert with his imaginary friend again, you know. I mean, he was just like, go imagine, you know, imagining his strokes and doing that. And he just looked kind of quacky, you know, kind of weird. And, you know, it was just like, it looks like he's just going through the motions. And, you know, unfortunately, that's how we can be. We just go through the motions. And we really don't do business with God. So this question, Christian, is will you and I allow God to take us through the process? God wants to say to us, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. God is wanting to do a work in us. And yes, he's going to bring some thorns into our life. Will we let him make us weak in order for us to be strong in Christ? Again, I'm not always saying that means you're going to be physically an invalid. That's not necessarily what I'm saying. It's just allowing him to put you in a position where you're out of your comfort zone and you need to call upon him for help. You're in a position of weakness. None of us ever wants to be, you know, for guys that have wrestled, we don't want to be the one on the mat, you know, with somebody about ready to pin you. We want to be in a better position than that. Sometimes God wants us in the weak position, so we'll learn how to call on him. Will we just look to Christ to make us vulnerable so that we can then trust him more fully? You see, that's kind of a crucial thing. It's a crucial element in our Christian life is that we do want things to just run smoothly. We all like that. We like a walk in the park. Nothing wrong with that. We like to have things just go swimmingly, as the British would like to say, right? We like that. But you know what? We're never going to grow that way. We're never going to become a strong Christian. And so as we yield to Christ and we look unto him, we can't fill in all these blanks. We just say, Lord, you know, I just yield myself to you. I want you to use me, whatever level you want to use me. I don't think there's a whole lot here, but whatever you want to do. Then the Lord he's the great master. He's the great creator. He knows everything. So he knows what it is for you, and he knows what it is for me. And somehow, in some way, there'll be a thorn. It just will be it'll put us in a position of being vulnerable and weak so that we can call on him. And Christians, this is a time, it's always been the time, by the way, but this is really the time, when you look at what's going on now, for Christians to just yield to God. For believers to just say, God, this is a time. When you're coming back soon, I can see that. And there's people that are wondering, and they've got a lot of questions. Whatever way you can use me, Lord, but I'm going to just give myself to you. And whatever it is you want to do in my life, I'm going to just try to receive it with thankfulness. And I want you to use me. And so the Apostle Paul said, I rather glory now in my infirmities. I take pleasure in them. Boy, wouldn't that be something if we could get to that place? Because folks, one of these days, there won't be any more infirmities when we're with the Lord. It's just going to be great. There won't be any more sorrow. There won't be any more tears. But while there's still a curse, there's going to be some challenges. And so may we as Christians just be willing to say, Lord, use me. Now, maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then I certainly don't want to finish up this message without putting out an invitation to you. And that is that Jesus Christ loves you. Look what he did. He went through the hard yards, didn't he? I mean, that's putting it very mildly. First of all, he left heaven's glory. God became a human being. He lived amongst sinners. He lived a perfect, sinless life. And then he goes to a cross on purpose on our behalf. And what they did to him was brutal. And he went to that cross and died and was buried and then rose again. And he's given to us eternal life. And you know, the Bible says for us to give him our hearts and our lives, it's our reasonable service. And so if we'll just learn to give him our lives. But saying this again to you, if you're here without Christ, is Christ did that for you. And he wants to save you. There's no way that you can earn your way to heaven, but it's because of what Christ did. He died, was buried, and rose again. And the Bible says that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so while we have an invitation, I certainly want to encourage you and invite you to come up here, and we'll have somebody up here that can show you from the Bible how you can be saved. And Christian, if God's spoken to your heart, I hope maybe you'll come to the altar. Let God, have some time with the Lord. You can do it there at your seat, certainly. But let's respond to God today, because he's making a calling to every one of us. Will we turn our lives over to him? And yeah, when he gives us a thorn, he's right there alongside of it. His grace will be sufficient. And he'll put a smile on our face as we go maybe through some vulnerable times or some weak times. We'll just be able to go, Lord, I'd rather have this than be in this with you and your presence with me each and every day than to be in full health and not have that kind of relationship. I'd rather have the former than the latter. And that's what he wants in our lives. So I'm going to ask you at this time to just go ahead and bow our heads. And with our heads bowed, we'll have the piano play here in just a moment. Brother Ray is going to lead us in a hymn of invitation. With our heads bowed, let me just ask you this. How many of you would say, Brother Garcia, I know without a doubt that I'm saved. I've come to trust Christ as my personal Savior. I know I'm on my way to heaven. Praise God for his precious blood, which was shed for me. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. There's so many of you all across the congregation. Almost looks like everyone, but maybe not so. Now, those of you that just raised your hand, let me just ask you. Maybe God's spoken to your heart today as believers. You know Christ. But maybe God has spoken to you about just yielding to him and just trusting him. That's not an easy thing. Certainly not easy for me. We like things to go well. But maybe there's a time that we just need to say, Lord, I just need to surrender or rededicate my heart to thee today.